I'm Helen Garzine, I'm the head teacher of Ormiston Primary School in East Lothian, and Kirsty's working in Primary 7 with us this year. We've been asked to come along and share some of the things that we've been doing in school. I need to put my disclaimer out right at the start. We are class teachers doing some interesting things with our primary children, but we are by no means saying that everything that we're doing is fantastic. We just wanted to share some of the things that we've been doing on the journey that we think are interesting. As we're going along our presentation, please feel free just to shout and ask us anything. And hopefully it'll be something that's interesting to do. So Ormiston's in East Lothian. We have around about 250 children. We have a 30-30 nursery, a single stream with bumps up and down the stages of composites. So having a look at our presentation, what's important to us in our school? So we thought, although this is about technology and ICT, what's important to us for what we're doing? So working together is the key for everything. As a staff team, we work together, and the children work well with each other, and we work well between the staff and the children. So that's absolutely vital. It's really important that we have a purpose for learning in our school. So everything we do, we try and make it have meaning, we try and make it relevant, we try and have fun with the children and bring the learning alive. What's really important for me as the head teacher is to make sure the things that happen throughout the school are of high quality. I don't care what it is people are doing for the sake of it. What I want to do is to make sure that when the children come in the door to our school, they get really good stuff. And we know it's really high quality. So that's very, very important for me as a head teacher in Ormiston. So when it came to ICT, the same thing was relevant. It wasn't just about doing ICT. It was about how do we know we make it really good? What is this going to mean for us in reality? So we started off looking at our forward planning. This is an example of some of the forward planning that we moved to. So this was a step on from 5 to 14 into the curriculum for excellence, and it was woefully out of date. When you look at some of the expectations, we had different strands for animation and blogging and all sorts of different things. But when we looked at email, understanding the difference between email, telephone and post was a genuine concept, but very long time ago. So we were looking at what was relevant just now. For our second level children, log on using my own username and password. If you're talking about P5, P6 and P7, they are doing that as a matter of course. They're doing that as in put your bio away, get your reading folder out. This is the bread and butter of what we're doing. So having things identified as specific things in this level, we felt was totally out of date with what we were trying to achieve for the children. So for us, for the children that we have, our kids see technology as being an integral part of their day. They use it, they're so at home with it, but are they getting an experience in school that takes those skills forward, that enhances their learning, and for some of them actually gives it meaning, because the thing that motivates lots of kids is that aspect of technology. So it's looking at where are our kids and how do we take them forward. The next big deal in school is that we have lots of these fantastically computer literate kids and not so much in the staff room. So you have in our little cartoon here an example of what did I do on my holidays, and at the bottom, can I just email you a link to my blog list? And there are children in our schools, in our primary schools, who that is a daily reality for. They use the computer all the time. So what we wanted to do was to make sure what we were working on in school was relevant to them, relevant to their future life, and actually had some meaning with what we wanted to do. One of the things that we really wanted to look at was about quality. So if you were having a think about animation, for me, maybe 10 years ago, teachers would do a project on animation, and they would spend, if they were doing an 8-week block, 6 weeks making a set backdrop in a cardboard box, making their characters. So they had 2 weeks or so of animation. So what, for me, the quality learning in that experience, it didn't always link to anything. It wasn't always quality learning that was going on. So across the curriculum for us, we started to use rubrics quite heavily. And what that meant for us was we're looking at moderating, we're looking at making sure that teacher expectation in one room is the same as in another room, is the same as another room. And when I'm looking at teacher judgments for things, then I've got a benchmark for my staff as to are we all speaking the same language. Education Scotland have asked us to track children across the curriculum. They've asked us to be able to track trends over time. Part of this is to do with learning in this area. But what makes good quality learning for us? And what we decided to do was have a look at early level and the first 2 years of first level for children being taught specifically. So things like they would be taught to blog, they would be taught to take part in a discussion board, they would be taught things very specifically in ICT lessons. As we were coming out of the first level into second level, we were really looking for the learners to have that absorbed in their learning, so it wasn't ICT lessons. In our school, we don't have a computer suite. I know that's fairly run of the mill in most schools that you don't. What we have, we make sure, is the technology kit that we have are in the classrooms. We've invested fairly heavily. We have two different types of machinery in our school. We have netbooks and we have Chromebooks. And we try and have it so that there's one between two in the upper classes, in the classrooms all the time, to help the technology become embedded as a tool for learning rather than the learning itself. So when we had a look at rubrics to help us with the technology aspect, if this was a social subjects or a science rubric that we were using for early level or for first or second, our first star was to say that if it was a second level rubric, we would say first star, somebody that was vaguely confident at first level. So what would we expect that to look like? Two would be doing really well with those expectations. The third star would be that they were really secure in the learning at that level. And the comment was that they were outperforming our expectation for that level. When we had a look at ICT, what we wanted to have a look at was how do we develop that? And we felt that at early level, a child could be really, really skilled in a different component part from they were in a different one. So you could have a child outperforming at first level a second level child. So what we have across our school is one of these for, this is a discussion board one, we have digital presentation, we have digital storytelling, those kind of aspects of ICT stuff. And we have a look, and where we're planning to go now is to be able to, when we're doing an activity, have a look with the children so that they can benchmark where they are. So we've been using that with some success in second level. We're trying to move that throughout the school. One of the strengths for this is about that teacher bit. The teacher being able to say, actually, I'm doing a blog. What does that mean? What actually is the expectation? What's good? What's very good? And what actually is really, really good? A lot of staff in our school have said, I'd like to do something with making a film, but I don't know what I could do. So part of this is helping staff see the level of what is the potential of what you can do. So we're heavily timetabling into our calendar ICT training, but it has to be relaxed and fun and low-key so that the staff actually feel it's a non-threatening environment. We have a really mixed staff in Ormiston. Some people, like Kirsty, would be very confident with technology, right down to the other end of the spectrum. So we're not working in an area of specialised staff. We have the school that you've got. So this is something that we've tried, and we're feeling that the rubrics are really helping us to see that the learning is really, really high quality. So having a look at collaboration was really important for us. We looked at collaboration that we were doing in school. So we did critical skills activities for quite a while in our curriculum. It was very, very easy for somebody to sit back in a critical skills activity and do not very much. It was quite easy for somebody to feel fairly intimidated if their literacy skills weren't of a certain standard about contributing to a large piece of paper activity or something like that. So we looked at kind of what was wrong with our collaboration, with our paper-based collaboration, and we really wanted, when we were looking to develop the ICT that we were doing in school, to take that a bit further and to give it much more lean. So
So as Helen said, I'm very much a class teacher, a primary 7 class teacher at the moment, looking from what was already going on in the school when I went into primary 7 and what bits of kit did we have or what could we do to fill in those bits where I was standing as a teacher thinking there's something else that could be done there. So to the comments that were being made at the beginning of the day, it wasn't about using a machine because it was in the classroom. It was, this is something that's happening in my classroom, what can I do to add to that? How can I make that better? And one of the things we're looking at is those children that are in those collaborative groups or in those critical skills groups that were perhaps not engaging fully. Why were they not engaging fully? What was going on in that group? And one of the things we're looking at was motivation. So do they want to take part, first of all? Is what I'm asking them to do, is what they're doing of interest or relevant to them? If we were asking them to create a product that was, as they saw, old-fashioned or a little bit pointless, when they could do a whole bunch of other things that would be more engaging for them, they're not going to join in. They're not going to want to join in as much as they could. So we looked at using their own natural curiosity, using their own questioning. What can you do with that? Where can they go as an individual? And the technology that we had in the room allowed us to do that in real time. It was able to be instant access. So as Helen said, the technology has very much been in our classrooms. It's not we have to go elsewhere in the building or we have to go and wheel the trolley along that the little ones can't actually manage to physically get along without running someone over in the corridor. They have it there. It's this instant access. They know what it can do and they know they can go to it. One of the other things we're looking at is if we're doing a collaboration, we're asking groups of 4 to work together, how does that physically actually work in a classroom? We have our desks all set up, tables of 4, everybody facing each other, they can have quality dialogue. But if they're working on the same product, the same piece of paper, there is a limit, even with an A3 piece of paper and different coloured pens, we can't all join in at the same time. So inevitably, a child is going to have to take a back seat in that. The other thing we're looking at was, were they being able to contribute in a way that actually made sense for them? If it was a task that was more literacy-based, there were going to be barriers there with some children. Further down the school, getting a second level, first level, there are limits on what they can actually write, the amount they can write, how much they can write without support. The technology was there to give us the ability to support that without having to make this particular obvious or particularly different. So hopefully we kind of got the kids wanting to take part in something that was exciting. Sometimes using the technology was enough to be that catch. Not always. We didn't want the technology though to just be that catch, and this is something that we do on the device. We wanted to carry on, keep going with all this wonderful collaborative stuff that's going on in our practice, going on in our classrooms, and just feed in the technology that we had where it was going to be most helpful. We wanted the devices, Chromebooks we have in the upper school, we wanted those to be as normal as we would all pick up our phone. So you want to get back into it where you're going to pick up your phone and have a look and see you're on a bus, or a train, or whatever. If you're in the middle of doing a topic, primary 7s at the moment are looking at volcanoes as part of an interdisciplinary topic. They wanted to know where was erupting right now. We have instant access to that stuff. We can look up Hawaii and look up their Met Office, which can show us these things. We wanted the children to have sets of technology that was going to work for them, or tech that was going to, packages that were going to work for them as an individual. There's no point in giving somebody something that they don't need or want. It was just going to be another layer of something for teachers to manage and for the pupils to get used to. With the way we've been working with having these devices accessible to us, we're able to support the kids to set up their own accounts, so their own profiles. From that, they choose what they want, what they think is going to help them, and from there, that follows them wherever they go. So if they log on to the Chromebooks that are in my classroom, they can access that. If they log on to a Chromebook in a different classroom, they can access their same suite of things that they're wanting to use, and they get used to using. One of the things that I'm very conscious of is remembering back to when I was at school, and technology and Alpha Smarts and things like this were used for school kids, and only in quite narrow fields. We have the ability to use them for different ways, either to support children that may have dyslexic tech difficulties or things like that where technology is particularly appropriate, but also for children that are wanting to ask the deeper questions. So the children that were wanting to say, where is that volcano? What's it doing? What's it doing today? They can find that information for themselves. So what are we actually doing in a classroom? This is very much my big primary school teacher bit. I've taken a few screenshots of some of the things that the children are actually working on. Fairly basic stuff, but it's all about the collaboration and how that's fitting into the classroom. The skills, I'm sure to the audience that are in here, are not complicated. The things we're using are not particularly complicated. But these are being used with primary fours and upwards. So this is an example of pupils using Google Sites. So because we're using Chromebooks in school, in the classrooms, we're kind of led towards using Google Apps for Education because they tie in so well with our Chromebooks. It means that it's the same things that are there for all the children regardless of what device they go on to. And they've become really quite proficient at transferring that onto a different device. So they're now aware of, they've seen me use my phone to do it, they've seen me use my teacher laptop to access the same information, and they're aware that they can log on at home and do exactly the same things. When it came to doing, this is a topic example, so we were, as part of our RME curriculum, they were looking at Judaism, and the children worked collaboratively in groups to produce a piece of information. One of the things that they talk about with using sites is it becomes real for them. So if any of us wanted to find out information that we don't know, we go to the web for the most part. So for them, it made sense, if they were going to create an information text, to put it on the web, because that's where information comes from. They were able to work collaboratively, obviously, on one website, which meant that in the practical sense, they split up the pages. So they had one site, and then they divided up the pages, and the children in the group had devices that they could work on individually. But that also allowed those children that had different skill sets or different needs as well to tailor those pages. So, for example, we had children that weren't able to use the visual stuff, so uploaded audio clips. Everything they did was audio, and they were able to put those in. We had children that are far more into working with graphics and manipulating graphics. That was their contribution. And we had children who loved writing words, words were their thing, literacy was their thing. They could contribute the blocks of text. It took it away from children doing different bits for each other because somebody couldn't. We could divide up the task in a way that made sense for them. With building websites, it led on to the conversation of speaking earlier about Wikipedia and how do we ensure that children realise that there are issues around Wikipedia. The children created websites, so they learned themselves that if we can create that content, so can anybody else. So it started to make them question the sources of the things they found on the internet, started to help them to understand that you need to check your sources, you need to check where it comes from, and you need to know the purpose for which it was written as well. And from that, they're now quite good at sort of looking at Wikipedia, comparing sources. It's given them that sort of deeper understanding of what this information sharing is all about, what the internet is all about. The other thing we've been using a lot is discussion groups. And one of the things that we find with having discussions in a classroom, I suppose very similar to the room in here at the moment, is whatever the topic is that we're discussing, there are going to be children with different levels of confidence in expressing their opinion in that. There are certain topics in here that, as a normal class teacher and not as a specialist and not as an academic, I wouldn't particularly want to be voicing my opinion in front of everybody. We had children like that in our classrooms. And Discussion groups gave us a way of them being able to engage together, but giving them that little bit of security. So the child that we have that's a bit shyer at voicing an opinion was willing to challenge a boy in the class, they just happened to be a boy and a girl that round, was able to challenge in a polite and acceptable way somebody that she wouldn't have done in class. So it gave us that extra bit to support them. We were able to manage discussion amongst much more children, so without having somebody sitting for a long, long time, waiting on their turn, sitting with their hand up, getting bored, fidgeting. They could all work together. This led into conversations about, if you're using discussion forums, if you're posting online, what information are you posting? How are you protecting that information? How are you protecting yourself? And from there, it was able, really able to lead into conversations about what you're posting on Facebook, what you're posting on Twitter. I have primary sevens in my class. I'm under no illusions that they're all on social media, whether they should be or they shouldn't. I've kind of gone past the bit of saying you shouldn't be on this. They are. How can I have a dialogue with them to make sure that they're doing it safely? This was a way that we could start that dialogue in a classroom, in a real situation, and lead on to those conversations. One of the other things that I found particularly a strength of using the ICT devices that we've got in the classroom is that we've been looking at literacy. There's been conversations earlier about the amount of screen time children spend and the difference being made between is it valuable screen time or is it something they're becoming obsessed with playing a game or something like that. When we've been using our Chromebooks in class for writing or for literacy-based topics, I would say that these are particularly valuable episodes of screen time. The children are creating documents and creating pieces of literature in the same way as they will do throughout their life. When they go on through, very few of us will ever sit and hand write something. This is what we will do. There's a balance to be struck with children, allowing them to do this as well. One of the advantages of using the children with the devices is they can obviously create the texts and things like that in them, and that supports learners in all sorts of varieties of ways. But it's more been the collaborative thing. Once you've got a document, what are we going to do with it? It's not just in their writing job or in a drawer in the back of the classroom that we would then have to pass round and change coloured pens. We used to have red pens and red marks all over jotters. We changed to being green pens and green marks all over jotters. It was still pen marks all over jotters. So for these children, they were able to have a document. I could see it, their peers could see it, but it was still their document that they had control over who could edit it. So what we've done is the children created pieces of writing and then they shared it with both myself and their peers. And the example at the top is, again, a volcanoes topic, or leading on to our volcanoes topic. And I don't know how clear it is, but the box at the top is a comment from another pupil. So they've gone on, they've shared it together. He's offered suggested edits, and he's offered a comment on it. But the original author, it's still his document. He still retains the ownership of that. And that was quite important for some children who were a bit shy about giving their work away to somebody else, because they were worried about that. They were worried about the feedback that would come back. One of the things we had to teach the children was how to comment and how to do all this sort of thing in a respectful way. These were comments that were going to stay there. So rather than post-its that we wrote on and stuck in jotters for peer assessment before that would fall off and go missing and it litter the classroom, these were going to be there on their documents. So there's a dialogue about how do we make sure that that's actually valuable and respectful. The other screenshot that I've grabbed is very much from the teacher's point of view. So if I've got children all working on the devices, somebody again earlier spoke about how sort of creepy it was to go into a classroom with pupils looking at screens with headphones on and not a lot else going on. And I was worried of that in a classroom where there's normally, or with paper-based work, going around, you're writing on, you're doing various other things. How do I manage that when they're all on devices and I can see the backs of screens? All I can see is the backs of them. So this is a view just from one of the features in Google Docs that by chance allows me to have all the children's work up as tiles and I can watch that all happening real time. so it updates itself. So I can see the child that sat in the back of the room and absolutely nothing has come up because we're too busy fiddling around with changing the background or changing the wallpaper or whatever else it is that I've decided to do. I can also see the child that has getting themselves stuck in some of the text boxes. So they were playing around with nothing but layout and not a lot of content. Or equally, the child that was writing great big sections of text and weren't thinking about other things. Incidentally, the child that wrote all the text that's at the bottom learned how to use footnotes that day because he was putting little ones in himself and stars. And we had a discussion about how to use a footnote with the primary seven. The screens that you can see that have got coloured backgrounds are ones that the children have chosen to set up themselves because they either have dyslexic tech difficulties or something else that just makes it easier for them if they've got a different colour background. Again, that comes back to the thing of they know what works for them, they know what technology works for them and how they can use it.
I think that's one of the strengths of where we are with technology in the schools. It's natural for the kids to expect certain things. So they expect when an interactive whiteboard goes on in the classroom, it's got a coloured background that's not white. They expect when they go onto their own device, as Kirsty was saying earlier, with the Chromebooks, when they lift them up, it doesn't matter what machine they have, their personal set of logins and their stuff, basically, their settings, all happen on that machine. So you're not setting up one piece of technology for one child. They must go and get laptop 37. Any device that they pick up within the Google Chromebooks that we have will facilitate their needs, which has been particularly powerful for the kids as well. So I think their needs are not obvious, that they have them, but nobody else needs to know what's going on with them too.
One of the things in a practical sense, so these are things that are just going on in classroom as normal. I'm quite fortunate that I was given a lot of time to really get to know these devices and to work with them a lot and how to actually get them working in our classroom. We're expecting other staff to do the same, and giving them the time to get used to these things alongside the children can sometimes be a challenge. Not all staff and children have time or expertise in a device, especially if they're brand new, we don't. When they came into primary seven, nobody else in the school had them. So we sat down with the primary sevens, and these were their bits of technology. They were going to live at the back of our classroom. They plug in at the back of our classroom, don't go anywhere else. So they had to learn, what were they going to do with them? How were they going to work? And how were we going to fix them? Was a very practical sense as well. So we now have primary seven children who know what MAC addresses are and know how to find a MAC address in a Chromebook. So it's not connected to the network, have you checked that it's on the list of MAC addresses? They know what a proxy setting is because they had to learn how to get around our school security settings. They know how to change.
That was work within our school security setting.
Started to understand what that machine is. It's not just something that Googles. It's not just something that they can search the internet. It's something that they are starting to understand. How does it work? How does it join together? How can I join it to other things? The conversations that they can now have and have you checked this and have you checked that and have you made sure that it's set up properly are really quite inspiring. When they can go to other places in the school and they can make sure that these things are working themselves. So, I have put on some of the tables. They're just at the front because I was kind of a little bit terrified that I would lose them. Not placed on anybody, but based on the fact that I would forget to take them back to Prime 7 and would not be forgiven for that. A few of our devices are sitting on the tables. One of the major advantages that we have is you open the lid and they go. This was not going to be something that we had to check into the other end of the corridor, bring the trolley back, then wait for them to log on and do all these things. So these are just what is working in our classroom at the moment. The ones that are on your tables should, when you open the lid, just ask for password. The password is Ormiston, not to be remotely security conscious, but we're not going to do anything else.
So be brave, pick up the device. If you have one of your own, do you want to explain?
If you have one of your own, I'm sure you're all perfectly aware how Google logins work. I've set up generic accounts, so it's scssa1@edubuzz.org. down to SCSA10, the password for every account is Ormiston. If you would like to log in, have a look. The Chromebooks I've opened, there should be two tabs open on each of the Chromebooks. I don't mean to patronise anyone, I just thought it would be quicker if it was there. I'm sure everybody's quite capable of sorting it out themselves.
Come on, Sandra, pick up the book.
One of the things that we find is having these accounts, the children all have their own individual accounts. And they open the lid, you might have them sitting on the table, work with them for a while, close the lid, do something else. Then, if we need to go back to it, they can open up and carry on. They're not stuck with this device that they have to keep open, they have to keep on their days. We can play about with it. So, I've opened up. Yes? Pardon? I can see if I can do it from here. What I've opened is, for those of you that can get in, I'll just get quickly so nobody's sitting with nothing. There's two tabs open. One is a document that I shared with you, which was a discursive essay that the class wrote. So, the documents that I've shared. So there are two documents I've shared. One says copy of Emma's discursive, one says copy of Emma's discursive. These are real discursive essays that we've opened out.
What's on my screen, so I'm up here, so if anybody knows how to fix that, that would be great.
So those documents that opened up there are examples that I just allowed us all to open accounts to have access to. Please do comment on them. There's a little bar at the top that allows you to click comment tab. Let's see if you can comment. See if you can comment, challenge the girls, both wrote these essays as whether or not we should have so much technology in school. Thought this might be the audience's challenge on their conclusions. Please do, they know that their essays are coming, they know that they're coming, so please feel free to comment. The other one is a discussion board. Just set up as a general Google discussion. Again, it's like a controversial topic. Have a look at the screen. One of the things that we do ask the children to do is make sure they're either on suggested edits or that they're commenting. Again, that allows the original author to retain control of their own document.
After that interval, that little memory, we're back to our colleagues.
I'd just like to say this is the reality of technology in the primary school. You plan this most amazing lesson, you stand up, the internet's down, something's goosed. So this is the reality of what we're living with in school. We're just going to have a quick roundup of what we're doing. So Kirsty was talking about earlier about using Google Docs and things like that for encouraging collaboration. So we put up a couple of documents before we were maimed, and hopefully Kirsty's going to run through and show you how some of the aspects of it work in practice.
Again, none of this is technologically particularly advanced or anything else. This is just what works with kids that we're talking about from primary four children onwards using these sorts of things. So thank you to those of you that have commented. And you see that it's highlighted certain bits. So for example, if I click on here, the comment has been good opener. So somebody's been able to agree. If this was in a classroom, I'd be asking the children to peer assess. I can then go on and either build on that or say actually, and give them guidance on these things. The other thing that I encourage them to do, the other thing I encourage them to do is to always have it on suggestion. rather than editing someone's document, unless it's for a specific purpose. Again, this means that it's still the author's work rather than someone else taking that away. This is one thing that we do in class as well. So we will allow children to go on and comment as things are going. So as I'm talking, as I'm teaching, they're still doing that. It means that there's a dialogue going both ways. So it's not just me standing talking to people or teaching. It's them interacting with that and joining back in again. I like the fact that obviously these ones with the genetic logins are completely anonymous, so we've got no idea who's commenting on anything. Whereas the children will always see that. They will know who's commenting because they can obviously recognise each other's logins. So we can go through all of that. We have smart boards, as we mentioned before, or in Stretch Point Bojan, on our classrooms. So this is all normal and up on the board, and they get really used to seeing this. It also means that when you're doing sort of whole class assessing or pre-assessing of somebody's work, it's not as daunting as the person having to stand up the front with the jotter and read out to the class. They get more used to seeing their work up there. Or the same as having the visualiser and it being less common for their jotter to go underneath. It means that we've got that dialogue going back and forward and the collaboration. It's not about how to use that bit of technology. It's the quality of the feedback and the quality of the collaboration between the children and between the teacher and the child.
We had a situation a couple of weeks ago when Kirsty was giving the children a homework task to do, and this child was fairly new to our school, so hadn't realised all the things that the technology could do, and went home, was completing his homework task, could see it all coming up. Then there was quite, you can track the edits over time, so you can see at 9:30 what happened then, what was happening at 9:45. So there was a fair amount of activity in a short period of time. Then there was a gap. Then about 45 minutes later, there was this most amazing piece of homework was produced, which obviously the child had shared it with somebody in the house and said, "You're not handling that," and redid it. So it's quite interesting in terms for the children to see. That was just a slight amusement for us, but you can really see the drafts and how long they're working. So that bit of when you are in a class and the kids are working on something together, you can see what they're on in real time. So there's no hiding, and then you get to the end and you say, "I've deleted it." Or you can go back, and if the children are working on a document and somebody else makes an edit that they don't like, they can go back to a previous version, so they can hop up and down. So it's really, really interactive. For the child, we all have them in school, who hits the delete button just as they're finished, the previous version will have all of that there. So there's all these little things within the programme that are really powerful in the classroom.
And there are obviously many other ways that you could do the same sort of thing. There are lots of other apps and lots of other ways of doing similar sorts of things. But this was how this would fit into what we were doing already, best using with the technology that we had. So with having our Chromebooks, it made sense for us to use it this way. So the last bit, which is very, very quickly, is we're part of the same unit on writing discursive essays. Isla wrote an essay about should we have so many computers and digital devices in school, which was actually a really interesting dialogue to have with children who are used to being in a classroom that does have lots of this, that do lots of ICT learning, use it through lots of different ways. Some of their conclusions were a bit of a shock to me, as they saw it very much as one bit of everything else that they did. They didn't want devices to play with, because they can go and play with their devices at home, they can play with their smartphones. It's not a novelty to them to get online and play with things. So, can we just invite her? So, I think that her conclusion was particularly valid in that we should have them because of the ways that we can help children learn. It's not to do with having a nice, shiny new toy, which is great for those of us that like to play with these things and like to see what they can do and are willing to spend the time to do that. In the classroom, it was about, this is an 11-year-old, saying that the device was about giving her different ways to learn rather than just something to play with.
Our P6 children did have a project last week on they had to do a debate and have a referendum in school. So their referendum was, should Mrs. Gardner spend so much money on technology, or should she have bought footballs for the playground? And you'll never guess what won. The footballs. So So I hope this has been interesting today. As I say, we're not professing to be really proficient in technology, but this has been really useful for us. If anybody's interested in finding out how we're using it in school, please contact us. But I hope something that we've said today has been of use to you. So thank you very much. Thank you.